We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Final hour of the Bill Michaels Show. Thanks for joining us today. Kevin Holden from CBS 58 in Milwaukee. Stepping over here onto the radio side. Thanks to Bill and thanks to you guys for letting me step in here and invade territory, talk a bunch of Bucks.
Kevin, you never invade territory. You are known around here as the fun substitute teacher. when Holdy's in, you know it's going to be a fun time, and you know you got to bring your best throwback jersey, because yeah. Kevin Holden's always going to come in, whether it's the Mike Allstott jersey. Who you got on today with
this
the Braves?
This is a Dale Murphy.
Dale Murphy. So I'm in here in my powder blue Warren Moon Oilers jersey, because I had to step up to your level, but we are always happy to have you here, Kevin.
Yeah, glad. I appreciate that this is so smooth when it happens, and the fact that I come in and big things are going on, and today, of course, Bucks game 5, and don't forget about the Brewers. It's an off day for them today, but we will talk to Jeremy Jeffress a little later in the hour. Jeremy's out in Germantown, Wisconsin, doing something, so we'll chat with him about all that, but JJ joins us here in a couple of segments.
Well, you know, Kevin, speaking of the Brewers, how about a beer?
This portion of the program being brought to you by our friends at Bud Light. They are the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Yeah, if you start setting up a situation where we have beer in here, I might never leave. I might just stay in this room the whole time.
Beer.
Beer here. I'll take 10.
Then we probably wouldn't invite you back. That might get you booted off.
10 would be a problem. 10 would be like, okay, we can't have this guy here anymore. So Bucks and Raptors game 5, we've been talking about it throughout the day. You have seen the Bucks play 2 games in Toronto that were not their optimum 2 games. It's a good basketball team, and that hasn't changed. The Raptors are a good basketball team, a very good team, and maybe in our minds that has changed a little bit. After those first 2 games, you thought, it could be a sweep. And then the Raptors defended their home court, did it effectively. They put this wall in front of Giannis. They've been stopping the secondary options. They've been all over the place. So what do you do? What do you adjust to for Game 5 here at Fiserv Forum tonight? How do you get the Bucks a win? What do you change? 855-830-8648. I still maintain that there's going to come a point, if Bledsoe continues to struggle, that might be the guy that Brogdon would start. Not that it would matter. It's not that Bledsoe's minutes would be significantly reduced, because I think Bud likes the idea of having a good healthy dose of Brogdon and a good healthy dose of Bledsoe. But maybe the idea of Brogdon as a starter might help them get out to a better lead. But I will agree with you, Bodie, about Bledsoe and what he does, and just how, you know, he's sometimes just head down charging to the basket. He's, you know, a guy that in a much smaller package is trying to draw the defense in on him, trying to make plays happen. He's a guy that, when it seems stagnant, can start to make things happen. And when he's at his best, that's an option that's a third option on a team. And I mean, sometimes good enough maybe to be a second option on a team. It's Giannis and Middleton and Bledsoe when Bledsoe's at his optimum point. He just hasn't been at his optimum point very much in this series, and he's had a few games within the playoffs, but for the most part, it's not been the Bledsoe that I think everyone hoped to see at playoff time. So that's Bledsoe, to me, might be the key factor here for the next 3 games of this series. I feel like your stars are going to do what they do. Giannis, Middleton, Kawhi Leonard, you know, and Lowry, I guess, is the guy on the other side who's in that same boat. And it's interesting. Lowry laid some real bad games down in the first couple series of the playoffs. I mean, there were some tweets out for a while that were like, is Kyle Lowry know that it's playoff basketball? Is Kyle aware that the regular season has ended and that his season could end if he doesn't pick it up? Well, he's done it. He's played a lot better. And that to me is the big difference for the Raptors. Kawhi has been Kawhi, but Kyle Lowry has been really, really good.
Yeah, I mean, not just him, but their role guys who have stepped up, like Fred VanVleet comes out and goes crazy, you know, and we've talked about it again and again, but those are the guys in the playoffs that make the difference. You know, it's not always going to be your stars. It's going to be how much of a contribution can you get from the Pat Connaughtons of the world, from the guys like Tim Frazier, who you have to bring in midseason, guys like Malcolm Brogdon coming back off an injury who might not be 100%. And the Raptors are a really, really deep team. You know, it's not just Kawhi. VanVleet has been fantastic. Mark Gasol basically pulled a Brook Lopez. Brook Lopez goes crazy in game one. Marc Gasol comes out, and he's been amazing down the stretch.
Yeah, he's added the threes to that defense, and that's a tough guy. You start to realize how tough it is for guys going against Lopez when that sort of thing happens, when he's blocking shots and then he's also hitting threes. That's tough. That is very, very tough to try to defend. Game five, 7:30. Then they go back to Toronto. Game six is Saturday, and then if there's a necessary game seven, if that is necessary, it will be Monday, and it will be in Milwaukee. This is an interesting part of the NBA playoffs, and I've wondered if it's going to play in the Bucks' favor. It may be a little late for it to play in the Bucks' favor, but the Raptors, as we mentioned, played a series against Philadelphia that took everything out of them, all the way down to the last shot of the last game, and that took three bounces and a roll to win the series for Toronto. And the point is, you know, as an athlete, you give all of it to keep your season alive, but then what do you have left for the next round? Toronto's proven that they still have something left, but as you go on in this series, every game is separated by one day. One day. So you go 15th, 17th, 19th, 21st. And right now, you are traveling every day you don't play. They played game four in Toronto, then they flew back here. Game five here, fly back out. Game six in Canada, fly back. So that, to me, would still seem to favor the Bucks, who had, at least in terms of number of games, an easier time against the Celtics. They disposed of Boston in five and had time before the Toronto series. Toronto did not have time. They beat Philly and then just came right here. I mean, they were set to go to Milwaukee right away for game one. So I wonder if this keeps going, if there is a game seven, if there's a difference in energy level, are these guys just not able to keep it up for a seventh game of an Eastern Conference final series? I think advantage Bucks for that reason. They're a tad more rested, and that may come into play. And I think the other half is still two of three at home, and the home team has won every single game in this series. I think that's a trend that continues tonight, by the way. I actually put that up on Twitter. I don't ever do that. But I put, as I was going to bed last night, I said, you know what? I think the Bucks are going to win game five. And it's totally a gut feeling.
And you didn't just say it. You tweeted it.
I tweeted it. It's in the universe, which means it's been screen grabbed.
Lock it in.
If they lose tonight, they're gonna play these screen grabs back for me. I'm going to get that tweeted back at me 5,000 times. But, yeah. I mean, it was, I'm sitting at home and I'm like, you know, it was games three and four were tough at times to watch. But this team in 100 games, regular season and playoffs, have shown me a lot more than those two games did in the negative direction. I feel like that's what this team is going to be, a lot closer to the one that was the NBA's best team record-wise in the regular season, the team that swept in the first round, the team that lost only one playoff game before this trip to Toronto. I think that's the team you'll see a little more of, a team that looks deeper, a team that hits the George Hills and the Pat Connaughtons of the world for more points, more chances. That is, to me, the difference maker in this series to this point, is when you've had the Hills and Connaughtons out there, they've done well, or Brook Lopez, or Ersan Ilyasova, somebody. And then in games three and four, it felt like nobody. In game three, your big guys didn't score points, and in game four, your guys outside of the big two did not score points. I think they shot, by the way, if you take Giannis and Middleton out of the game four stats, I think the team shot like 34-35%. And you're not going to win anything with even a portion of your team shooting 34-35%. One guy can get cold, but if seven or eight or nine guys get cold like that, that's going to be tough. I don't care whose house you're in, right? I mean, You don't want that happening tonight. I think that was the number. You take Giannis and Middleton out,
right,
and the rest of the team scored 47 points and hit like 34-35% from the floor. It's not going to win.
No.
Not in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Not going to get the job done,
right?
against a really talented team with an actual cyborg on their roster. You got to be perfect, man. Like, I'm at this point, I'm convinced Kawhi Leonard could get a compound fracture in his shin and just keep on playing. Like, the dude has played through so much pain.
It's amazing.
It's ridiculous, dude. That guy will not quit.
And the thing is, the game four Kawhi really showed a different type of value, too. He didn't take a million shots, nope. But he was still very valuable in how he set his teammates up.
And an incredible defender. I mean, people were talking, what was the, was it game three that everyone was debating whether or not Giannis had traveled because his legs were so long in the stride when he drove to the basket? It's like, no, only Giannis can do that because his legs are long enough that, yeah, he can pretty much dunk it in from the three-point line if he wanted to. The thing people don't talk about, that dive ball that Kawhi had where he dove out on the court and grabbed it one-handed, and everyone's like, how did he grab? That dude has the biggest hands I have ever seen on a human being. I mean, folks, if you're listening out there, Google Kawhi Leonard hands. The man could palm a basketball probably by age 13. He's a physical specimen. I mean, he's Giannis with an amazing shot, obviously a little bit less size, but he is just as big a superstar. Great shooting ability. He defends. They're a tough matchup. You're going to have to play really well.
Yeah, and that's you know that Kawhi will bring everything he's got here for 5, 6, and 7. This is why you watch. You've spent 100 games setting up a game like tonight, Game 5, 7:30 at Fiserv Forum. Talking Brewers and Jimmy Nelson soon maybe to rejoin the rotation. That would be fun. That would be really good for them, too. We'll talk about it next.
Border to Border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Jokers to the right, man. Just describe a lot of hours of our days, right? The joker to your right, if you're standing to the left of your radio, is Kevin Holden, CBS 58 in Milwaukee, in for Bill Michaels today on the Bill Michaels Show. Thanks to everyone, obviously, for listening and talking Bucks with us. This has been fun as we've taken you sort of into the lunch hour. You've been eating and talking sports. Nothing better than that, right? Nothing better than that. That's
hey, would you like to be a VIP? This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Cousins, where they have the big gig giveaway from Cousins and Summerfest. 11 concerts, 11 nights at the American Family Insurance Amphitheater during Summerfest means 11 chances to win. Each VIP concert package gets you a couple of tickets, a parking pass, gift cards, and so much more. 11 people are going to win this one-of-a-kind experience, and you could be one of them. Enter daily at CousinsSubs.com/BigGigGiveaway to experience your best Summerfest ever. It's from Cousins Subs, the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Oh, man, go out. You want to go get a pepperoni melt after this?
I kind of... Like,
just to kind of hold it up for Bill and Joe, we got to go get some cheese curds, man. Pepperoni melt, extra cheese, extra mayo, the big unit special.
Would they have to go get it, though, that isn't brought to them?
Oh, I mean, sometimes fans do bring
really?
People talk all the time, you know, like Bill Michaels, obviously, is a legend, you know, 16 affiliate stations, so big in the state. And, like, the fame, I'm sure, is really nice and everything that comes with it, but... Having people deliver you your favorite meal just because you talk about it all the time on the air. You know how incredible? Like, that is the level of fame I'm trying to get to, Kevin. How many years away would you guess you are from that in your career? You're getting there.
Oh, I don't know.
When do people start delivering pizzas and stuff to you in the studio?
No, that doesn't happen to me. I mean, I suppose that, you know, sometimes you'll make an offhand comment about how you like something and somebody will, you know, write you a Facebook message. Oh, yeah, I'm a big fan of that, too, or whatever. The CFL is one thing that happened on that front. I got into the CFL and started talking about it, and I gained a couple of CFL-devoted Twitter followers based on it.
The Canadian Football League.
Yes, indeed.
You know who won 5 consecutive Grey Cups in the Canadian Football League?
Oh, you're not talking about a franchise. You're talking about a player.
I'm talking about Warren Moon, baby.
Uh-oh.
Got that jersey on. 5 consecutive Grey Cups. You know, we talked with Chuck earlier about that, the conversion rate of Canadian money to American money. What would the conversion rate be? That's 5... CFL Super Bowls. So is that equivalent to like Warren Moon got one Lombardi trophy, maybe?
Yeah, okay. I could deal with a 5-1. I mean, it's nothing against the CFL, but there are 9 teams in the league.
Yeah.
And usually at the end of training camp, the guys that get cast from NFL rosters get scooped up instantly by CFL rosters. Mm-hmm. I mean, Johnny Manziel tried. Vince Young tried. Both of them way after their NFL time, you know, to get to the CFL. But yeah, I'll take the conversion of 5-1. That's worth it. So talking Brewers, who would like to get their own championship here this year, they came so close last year, and Jimmy Nelson wasn't a part of it because of the freak injury that he suffered in 2017. He was diving back into first base and messed up his shoulder, his pitching shoulder. I don't know if I've ever been more in favor of the DH in the National League than that day, and I'm normally not in favor of the DH in the National League, but I was that day, and for several days after. the return of Jimmy Nelson could have enormous implications, I think, because it has a domino effect for the rest of the rotation. Here's what I mean. And by the way, Jimmy Nelson's last rehab start for the AAA affiliate in San Antonio is today. So the thought is he'll be back with the team as soon as next week. Here's what Nelson's return does. And I'm not crazy enough to think that Nelson just steps right back and becomes the Jimmy Nelson of 2 or 3 years ago instantly. But he's going to give you a veteran arm. He's going to give you something where, he'll battle and this will take innings away from the bullpen and everybody will get better. That's the domino effect. The bullpen, fewer innings pitched, fresher arms. There's number one right there. Two, you get to shuffle around your rotation a little bit because, let's face it, if there's been a weak spot for the Brewers to this point, it's not the offense, and the bullpen has at least been okay. It's that starting rotation and the fact that they have depended on these young arms to do so much, and the young arms prove to be young. Corbin Burnes is young. Freddie Peralta is young. I like Brandon Woodruff. I think he's a battler, and I like the fact that Craig Counsell trusts him enough to let him do things like pitch 8 innings in a game if he's going along. That, to me, is a big plus. Of course, you have to perform well to get those 8 innings in. It's not like he's being gifted that. But you have Woodruff. You have Zach Davies. Now you add in Jimmy Nelson. You got a Chacin. You got a Chase Anderson. And I just named you 5 names that don't include those young kids anymore, right? They're no longer there. They're no longer being depended on. The biggest issue, and I was talking with a good friend of mine named Vince yesterday. We have lunch from time to time. And Vince is a smart dude. He knows his baseball. And Vince put it really well. The Brewers have one job right now. Their job before the end of July is to stay within a competitive distance of the Cubs and Cardinals in the Central. They don't have to lead the division right now. They don't have to lead it in July. They want to get into the playoffs, then it would be good to lead it at the end of the season. That would guarantee them a spot. But the key right now is to get to late July, early August in competitive striking distance. That puts a different sort of pressure on the Brewers team. When you have a young second baseman, Keston Hira, if he had struggled more when he came up, the leash has got to be shorter. If Orlando Arcia is really, really having issues like he did last year, last summer, you can't just let him spend half a season trying to figure it out. Arcia's got to go back to AAA, and that's what he had to do. Starting pitching, same thing, and it's a tough dilemma. The Brewers want to go young with their starting pitching. They don't. Clayton Kershaw cost you $300 million, so you can't just go sign those guys. You have to develop them. You have to give them big league innings.
You know, I got to give a shout-out for Joe Zanzola, Radio Joe, who's out in Florida, out in Naples, hopefully on a golf course with his lovely fiance. We wish him all the best. Hope he's having a great day. Joe loves Austin Powers, and, like, some of these new baseball contracts, I mean, you talk about that Kershaw contract, like, I remember a time when $300 million was a thing you would only hear Dr. Evil say. Like, Bryce Harper, how much you want? He's like, $340 million. You're like, well, obviously, we're not going to do that. It's true. You got to really, it's almost the same approach that you've seen the Packers take, where it's cheaper to draft and develop than go out and sign stars.
Yep. And pitching, the other thing about pitching and why the Brewers have been in this position is their star pitching costs you a ton of money and isn't necessarily the most reliable thing. You can break the financial back of your franchise on someone if they get hurt, if they pull a Jimmy Nelson from 2 years ago, then it's a huge issue, right? And I think that's, David Stearns has realized it's easier for him in his system to know what a good hitter is, to be able to quantify what a good hitter is and to build his lineup with dependable good hitters and then to find his pitching. That's why I think Nelson's return is so important. You want to give innings to Peralta and Burnes and these guys, but every game means something. You're trying to stay competitive right now. So no offense to Burnes and those guys, but you really kind of need Jimmy Nelson throwing those innings, not Corbin Burnes at the moment, not Freddie Peralta at the moment.
And can we just, regardless of what his ERA is that day, whatever happens, that's going to be such an incredible moment. His first game back at Miller Park, and I mean, it's over 2 years at this point, right?
What was it, like late 17 or something?
Yeah,
close to two years.
It's pretty much that. I mean, I'm reminded of when Teddy Bridgewater had the horrific knee injury and people said he might never play again. He came out when the Vikings had their playoff year. This was 2 years ago. It was in garbage time. He came out, and I think he threw three passes. One of them got picked. But he got this insane standing ovation from the Vikings fan because they knew how improbable it was at one point that this, like, would he ever make it back? And, yeah. You know, people have been talking about Jimmy Nelson for so long. It's just, it's so incredible to see the way that this guy has battled back. Like, I don't care if he gives up 10 homers. That is a great day when Jimmy Nelson finally comes back. Obviously, I hope he doesn't. I'm sure he won. He's a very talented pitcher. But, like, this story is bigger than baseball.
Yeah. The fact that he will have spent all that time rehabbing, all that time working, and then he'll make a return, and it'll boost the team. It will boost from a confidence standpoint, no question. So Jimmy Nelson's last rehab start for San Antonio happens today. Brewers play next week, and we'll see if he rejoins the team. I believe he's going to step in right away. It's going to be a lot of fun. Speaking of Brewers pitchers.
Oh, boy.
Jeremy Jeffress, JJ, going to join us next on the Bill Michaels Show.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Why you wanna tell me how to live my life? Brewers in the middle of a homestand, taking on the Philadelphia Phillies for three games, starting tomorrow at Miller Park. Kevin Holden, CBS 58 in Milwaukee, in for Bill today. The Brewers split a very fast two-game set with the Cincinnati Reds. I mean, it was Tuesday night, Wednesday day, and they were out. And it was such a flash that, especially in the midst of all the Buck stuff, you might have missed what happened yesterday, which is the Brewers were masters of the rally.
What other time in Milwaukee sports talk history would it take us, what, 3.5 hours of a show to get to an 11-9, right?
Yeah.
11-9 game that had like 15 lead changes. that tells you what a big deal game five is, because that Brewer game was insane.
They were down 6-1. They came back and tied that before the fourth inning even ended, and it's one thing to rally, but it's another to do it that early in the game, to reset that early in the game. That knocks the other guy, kind of punches him in the mouth a little bit. You know, like, oh, yeah, okay, there's your six. We just matched it in the fourth. Eric Thames was responsible for the runs that tied the game at six apiece. Reds scored two more. Yasmani Grandal, two-run homer, so tied at eight. And then Hernan Perez came through with a base hit. And that let Josh Hader jump in and grab a five-out save, which was a ton of fun. Anytime you see Hader pitch, I mean, I know he's been a little more homer prone this year. There have been, you know, you see a little dent here, a little dent there, but he's still just so much fun to watch. And one of the best, certainly from the left side out of the bullpen in the game, one of the best from either side, really.
And as a man who went bald, unfortunately, around the age of 20, best hair in the MLB. Not even close, man. I mean, the Haterade, it's part of the magic. I'm convinced, like, that's where part of his superpowers come from, where Deion Sanders used to always insist the Jerry Curl made him faster.
What about Noah Syndergaard, then? You know the deal with... Have you seen Noah Syndergaard this year? You know Noah's hair, obviously. The whole Game of Thrones hair or whatever, but now he's putting it back in this weird, like, ponytail.
I have not seen that, no.
So you've got...
I don't watch a lot of Mets games, unfortunately. You know.
And the weird thing is, Syndergaard's a big guy, but it turns out he's kind of a long and lean guy. And that ends up amplified when he's on the mound with this ponytail behind him. He's like this 6'5", like, kind of lean dude with this long blonde ponytail. And it's like, should you be playing in a European basketball league, maybe, or in a band or something? But and of course, the worst part is he's not had the best year, so all the Mets faithful want that ponytail gone. I mean, the Mets have not had the best year.
Which, like, baseball is the only sport, I feel like, that's so, like, big on slumps and stuff. Where they're like, if he cuts his hair, like, he'll be... There's always a weird way to get out of the slump. It's like, no, I changed up what I was eating pregame, or I stopped washing my socks. Like, if he cuts his hair, I'm telling you, the Mets still... It's not that they lost, like, 20-3
right.
a month ago.
Yeah, the pitching staff's a shambles or whatever. When the Brewers were playing in the playoffs, I posted the Tiny Timpa song written in the stars at first pitch of every single playoff game on Twitter. Every single game. I literally, if it was, you know, a 108 first pitch or whatever against the Rockies, at 108, you would see it on my Twitter. No words, no description, just a link, and it would be the Written in the Stars song. The joke, of course, is that the Written in the Stars song was TBS's postseason music. The last time the Brewers made the playoffs in 2011, so everybody was singing it back then, so it was kind of a throwback of sorts, I guess. Now, the Brewers will get a chance to do something here against the Phillies this weekend, three games. this is an interesting test, and it continues this run of difficult opponents. I mean, the Reds were very much the anomaly. The Brewers have been facing a bunch of games against the Dodgers and the Cardinals and the Cubs and the Phillies. You know, these are all top-end teams in the National League, and a lot of times I don't like to talk about strength of schedule in a baseball schedule because everybody plays essentially, they should, the same 162 split the same number of ways. You play the same teams in your division X number of times, the other division X number of times. So strength of schedule in that many games in a season is not a factor normally. But when you're talking about a quarter of the season, like the Brewers have done, and the opponents that they've played in that quarter of a season, they have stacked that schedule to be very difficult in the first quarter for the Brewers. All these first-place teams that they were playing, home and road, they were just one right after another. It was almost a relief to go play Atlanta. And Atlanta's a tough team. And Cincinnati is no pushover. But that is going to get easier. There's going to be a lot of Padres and Giants and lower-end teams coming up on that schedule. The East Division outside of Philadelphia and maybe Atlanta is a little weaker. So the Marlins, they come to town and 2 weeks. They come to town right when the finals go west, I think, when the NBA finals go west. That's my pick of confidence right there, saying that the Bucks will play a Golden State as the Marlins come to Milwaukee. But that schedule will get better. That's my tangent there. And they have done well in series like this so far. They've held their own. They're over 500. They're in a wild card position at the moment, knocking on the door first place with a very difficult schedule. Again, I won't normally say this, but I'll say this here. Schedule's going to get better, which means I think their record overall, you know, barring some crazy slumps or injuries or whatever, is also going to increase. They're a team that's poised for a bit of a run over the next couple of months of the summer. So that'll be fun. Brewers have those three games. That Sunday game is a 1:10 first pitch, and that's on Telemundo, Wisconsin. We do that over on the Spanish side. CBS 58 and Telemundo Wisconsin have the partnership. So we do all the Sunday home games. So we'll be there in Spanish. That'll be May 26th. Kind of interested to see Bryce Harper in a Phillies uniform at Miller Park. I think in Milwaukee we don't hate him as much as they do elsewhere. I mean, I think if you have any hatred directed at a baseball guy, it's probably Manny Machado, right? From last year, the postseason. Tripping up Aguilar, trying to do all this crazy stuff. Harper is not a guy that the Brewers have necessarily had some direct run-ins with. I wonder if it'll change now that he makes, as Bodie says, $340 million with the Philadelphia Phillies. And that's over like 300 years, but he is making it. So three-game set there. First one is tomorrow night, and then they'll play on through Sunday for the Brewers. At 1:10... Sunday games, if you haven't been to those, it's a lot of fun. There's no giveaway this Sunday, but there's usually some kind of crazy giveaway. It is some of the most fun that we have on those Sunday afternoon games. We don't do the jump around anymore. That's the one thing we don't do. But then it's off to Minnesota for a very, very quick series. They go Monday, 6:10 there. Right now that's Gio Gonzalez and Michael Pineda. And then the second game in that series, I have to look that up, Zach Davies and Perez for the Twins. Perez is a good pitcher. We saw him, wife and I went up to Minnesota, saw the Twins play last weekend and saw him. So that's a quick one. Two game series against Minnesota, and then the Brewers are right back home the next weekend. So, I'm sorry, they go to Pittsburgh from there. Not home, but they'll quick series in Minnesota, they move on from there. So again, right now those Brewers stand in the National League standings at 29-22. So it's two games out of first. That's it. 1.5 up in that wild card standing. So again, they have played the tough opponents that they've played. Their run differential is a positive run differential through exactly 51 games of the season. Run differential is 13. And there are guys on this teams on the schedule that you're going to see coming up that are going to look a little easier. The Giants and Rockies, Diamondbacks and Marlins and Nationals. And of course, the Mets, who we talked about, who are a bit of a mess as well. So for the Brewers to continue to succeed, they've got to continue to pitch. I think they will hit almost no matter what, even if one or two guys are slumping offensively, you're going to see some other guys step up for them. I mean, you know, I don't think Aguilar is going to slump for an entire year. Shaw has had his troubles. You could see him coming back and having a strong second half as well. So what they have to do is pitch starters and relievers, really, because we got spoiled last year in the postseason. I mean, it was, you'd have six-inning games, and it's like, oh, you get to throw Hader in the seventh and Knebel and then Jeffress or whatever order you'd like.
You know, that's something that we didn't really touch on either. How would you personally, I mean, in a few short words, what do you think is next for Travis Shaw? How would you handle that if you're Craig Counsell?
You got to give him some at-bats, but at the same time, he's a veteran player, and I don't think it's a good idea to just sit him. It's a tough situation. Hira's a good hitter. You know, Hira might be the guy that decides it. I think they like having the lefty bats in the lineup, though. I think that's the number one thing. And that's from David Stearns. You know, he appreciates the Eric Thames of the world, the Moustakas, the Shaws, Christian Yelich. He's proven that Brewers left-handed bats will hit well. So that's of importance. You got Brewers and Phillies. Let me get that first matchup here. That first game of the series tomorrow night, right after the Bucks take care of business against the Raptors. That'll be in Game 5 tonight. And then while we wait for that Game 6, Jared Eichhoff and Chase Anderson will go head-to-head. It's funny because Chase is a guy that I think if you were to ask people, without looking at the numbers, what kind of year you think Chase has had? And they would go, oh, it's been bad. It's been a bad year for Chase. I think people would believe that. Then you see his numbers, and he's 2-0 with a 2.66 ERA. It's pretty good, you know, like that, especially a Brewers team that needs veteran starting pitching. He's been one of those guys.
You know who else is pretty darn good at pitching for the Brewers?
Who's that?
Our old friend Jeremy Jeffress.
Two outs in the ninth. Jeffress deals, and he struck him out, and the Brewers win!
This segment of the Bill Michaels Show is sponsored by Stein's Garden and Home, planted in Wisconsin, growing with you since 1946. 16 locations, family owned, and by Robert Hack Diamonds, where they always pay cash for your gold.
My goodness, Jeffress slams the door.
Now, it's time to hear from JJ. Milwaukee hard thrower Jeremy Jeffress is on the Bill Michaels Show.
JJ, first question for you. This is a fun week at this time of the year because the schedule makers gave you 2 days off. You have enough 7-day weeks in your life. How nice is it to have a 5-day week, at least game-wise?
Oh, it's beautiful, man. It's beautiful. Just because we know the long stretch that we have coming up, so that's what we're looking at.
Now, everybody thinks, you know, ball player on an off day, kicking the feet up or whatever, but I have it on good authority that you are out and enjoying yourself, I believe, in Germantown right now. Is that right?
Yes, I am. I actually am in Germantown at my food truck, giving away tacos to the people in the community. It's just a test run, you know, to show people of what's coming on about the truck.
And this is, if I remember right, there are some delicacies here, maybe some southern delicacies, right? You're educating Wisconsin folks about southern food.
Yes, I am. It's definitely all southern food. It's coming from a family home recipe that we did back in my hometown, and it's just good food, man. I can tell you that right now. There you go, buddy.
I'm trying to see if I can look in the map and get to you in time here from the studios, if I can get that, because I miss good southern cooking, there's no doubt. As an Atlanta native,
yeah.
I miss it. So, Jeremy, you got a series against the Phillies coming up, and we were just having a conversation about the way the schedule is lined up. And I say people put a lot of stock into the schedule. But you play the same 162 as everybody else. It's just you happen to have played some tough teams early, but this will balance out, right?
Yeah, most definitely. The schedule is funny this year, how it's played out. But, you know, that's what you do. You just adjust to it. And, you know, you go about the game and then, you know, you make adjustments as you go along.
And that's something that happens, you know, day to day and week to week, and also play to play. As you were able to turn a double play last night or yesterday afternoon in a game, just like you scripted, right?
Yeah, just like I scripted. That was a tough game yesterday. We needed that. Thank you so much.
Yeah, tough game for the for the Brewers team. You had a team that in the Reds that kept, you know, they kept putting the runs on, they kept putting the pressure on you guys. But
I mean, that's not a bad team either. Those guys play very well. They've been a competitor of ours for a while, almost like a little rivalry. But yeah, we toughed it out. We needed that game yesterday. It was a big win for us. And like I said, we're moving on to the next task. The Phillies coming into town.
Three games with the Phillies and Bryce Harper. That'll be a fun one. Is there a hitter? I don't even know if you want to mention it. If there's a hitter that you think in your mind, you know, I'm kind of salivating a little bit to face this guy.
Not really. I mean, all the righties, honestly. I mean, Rhys Hoskins is a guy to watch. Dean Segura has been doing pretty good. But I mean, it's just the style of play of what you look at with another team, and they've been playing pretty good the last couple games. So, you know, we're just preparing for them and getting ready for them.
You had a long road trip: Chicago, Philly, Atlanta. Tough opponents and just a lot of time on the road. How nice was it to just get back and hear the home crowd roar for you a little bit?
Yeah, that was great. Big. I mean, a couple of guys were telling us on the road that, man, we can't wait to get back in our own bed. You know, and because just come back home and play in front of the fans, because that's where we went 5-5 on the road, which wasn't bad, you know. But you know, we were looking for. Come back home and get a good, nice couple series wins on our belt.
Hopefully that'll happen here this weekend. JJ, one more thing, too. We've got the Epilepsy Brainstorm Walk Run. That's on June 30th, and registration is now open. Now, you have a role with that, is that right?
Yes, I do. I'm going to have the food truck out there. You know, just giving away food again. I don't know if I'm giving away food this time, but... But I'm going to be out there. But just because, you know, it's something that I'm very in tune with the epilepsy, and I want to be a part of it and make sure people understand that I go through the same thing that they go through, and I try to be a normal person just like them, just being in the profession. Thanks for coming out.
Yeah, it makes sense for sure. It's a great thing to have that mix of, you know, great community, but also a great ball player as well. JJ, we appreciate it. Go feed the people. You are popular with this free food right now, aren't you?
I'm telling you, dude. It's kicking right now. It's amazing. I love it.
Jeremy, thanks for joining us, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
Jeremy Jeffress joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. This is, it's interesting.
Jeremy Jeffress on the Bill Michaels Show, sponsored by Stein's Garden and Home. Planted in Wisconsin, growing with you since 1946. 16 locations, family owned, and by Robert Hack Diamonds, where they always pay cash for your gold. Hear JJ every Tuesday at 1:30 on The Bill Michaels Show and on demand at BillMichaelsSports.com.
My goodness, Jeffress slams the door.
And we appreciate Jeremy to rearrange his schedule a bit this week, normally Tuesday. So thanks very much to Jeremy for joining us. And, of course, as always, Jeremy Jeffress joins us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Of course, we appreciate the support there on the Schneider Orange Hotline. That's been going on for years. Schneider hiring drivers right now. They work hard. You work hard. They treat you fair for 80-plus years. They've been getting it done. Call them at 800-44-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. Back to wrap it up. Bold predictions for Bucks-Raptors Game 5 next. Wrapping things up on the Bill Michaels Show, Kevin Holden, CBS 58 in Milwaukee. Thank you, folks, for listening in all day today. Tomorrow, there's a rumor I'm back. There's a rumor I'm going to come back in here tomorrow and hang out with you guys. I'd bring the lefty in for another out here. Tim Allen, host of the baseball postgame show, will join us. Steve Zotke. Did I say that right? How do I not know how to pronounce his name? I've only seen it. Steve Zotke, host of the Final Inspection Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan. An OTA's report from Green and Gold analyst Paul Immig. Game 5 of the Eastern Conference Finals will be recapped as we look ahead to Game 6. We got Bodie and Bill, buy or sell, the new male heads-up plays of the week. I might have to sleep here. Is this going to take like 18 hours to get ready for this? This is a lot, Bodie. A lot. Bold prediction tonight. I got one. 22 from Eric Bledsoe. How's that for bold?
22.
22.
Off how many shots?
400. No, it'll be a fair number for sure. But once he gets hot, he'll keep it going. He'll be the catalyst tonight. You got a bold prediction?
I think playoff Pat Connaughton leads the team in points.
Whoa.
The role players are coming back strong at the Forum.
I said this earlier in the show, and I'll say it again. The most important acquisition for the Bucks at the deadline was trading first half Pat Connaughton for second half Pat Connaughton. Playoff Pat. Dangerous. Folks, we really appreciate it again stepping in here for Bill Michaels today all across the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Root them on Game 5 tonight, 7:30 Fiserv Forum. It would be really nice to just scream at Drake all day Saturday for Game 6 and just finish this thing out. So I'll continue to cheerlead everybody in that direction as we recap Game 5 tomorrow on The Bill Michaels Show.
Wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.